Okay, let's start with the discussion session. So we start with Professor Zichicchi, and Campbell is the first.
Hello.
Ah. So I'm Sarah Campbell. I'm from Columbia University. And I have a question for Professor Zichicchi about the quark gluon colored world. And I was wondering if he could expand on the difference between the quark gluon colored world and the QGP.
What was the question?
How is the quark gluon colored world different from a QGP?
From quark gluon
colored world. Because you would have colored bound states, is that it?
The quark gluon colored world is the world completely different from our zero color world.
Right.
And there are very many states, and the problem there is that it could be that the quark masses are all nearly zero, even the very high one. In other words, it could be that the quark masses that we measure in the zero color QCD state, which is our state, is responsible for the masses which are not understood, apart from Fritz has given to us a very interesting lecture on the fact that he understood everything, apart from our friend who understood everything. We are still willing to know if this is going to be true and how. Well, this no one knows how it can be proven that this is indeed the case. So, conclusion, what we propose to do, to use known particles like electron, neutrinos, pion, whatever you want, and
probe the
bombard the quark gluon colored world. What is the most probable state where this quark gluon colored world exists? In lead-lead collision, you must imagine the more energy and pieces of objects you have, the better it is. So, suppose that this is true, then the point is, how do you detect the signal coming from this mysterious unknown world? The only point is in having a very good synchronization at the level of very high precision, not picoseconds. This is why we have the world record on time of flight of 15 picoseconds. We have in mind this, but picoseconds is still quite an enormous amount of time. And, well, this is open. It's a very difficult experiment, and this is what we want to do. Difficult experiments in order to beat our theoretical fellows who claim that they understood everything.
But in heavy ion collisions now, we see that particles produced by the heavy quarks are already behaving the way light quarks are. So it could be that we're already...
Tannenbaum? Yeah. Well, we are good friends. And he tells me that
it's not excluded that the...
You push the button. I know, yes. Push the button.
Hello. Yeah, I got it. Yes. So, Sarah, I work with Sarah. So the answer is yes, there are things that you could possibly be true, right? The problem is you never describe how you detect. When you shoot the proton through the quark gluon colored world, what you detect on the other side?
Some anomaly.
Anomaly.
Of course, we look for anomaly. It's like the extreme energy events.
The other thing you could do, and one of the things that we do with the quark gluon plasma, is we try to use jets to probe the plasma.
Are you sure that you have the quark gluon plasma? You are really sure of this?
Yes, I think so.
Not
yes.
To have a lot of troubles. It's not true. Well.
Everyone has troubles, right?
Yeah, you have problems. you have a lot of problems. And if you should not give for granted that you have the quark gluon plasma. Be more open.
I really like the idea. What I don't know is how it's different. If that makes sense.
What to observe is the big problem. But the point is that it would be fantastically important to detect anything anomalous. Why? Because this world must exist.
Yeah.
The quark gluon colored world must be there. No question about. We are come from this world, no question about, that became quark, gluon, zero color world, like Landemann, you, me, Fritz. We are zero color.
The other thing I wanted to say was a suggestion, was that you could use a jet created by a quark or a gluon from the initial hard interaction to probe the quark-gluon world that you create. That's something that we do with QGP, and I would think the same kind of measurement would work in a quark-gluon colored world.
Well, what we hope is that the order of magnitude in Gibbs energy should give something, otherwise we are lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nature must be generous with us. If nothing is discovered, we will disappear from this planet. We need a big discovery. Probably most fantastically unpredicted, something which so far no one has been thinking about, including the quark gluon colored world. Thank you for the question. And next,
Meyer.
Where is
Manuel Meyer, University of Bern. You mentioned that our universe is 98% empty, and
correct.
I can think of different reference resource source. What were you referring to by these 98%?
Sorry, what?
What were you referring to?
98% of it is empty. It's not.
Yeah,
me.
But
I
can.
Mean, the universe is like this. So
yeah, but I can think.
If you assume that we start from, I have no way to describe the evolution of the universe. Otherwise, I would have presented you this. But what we know is that if you take the Schwarzschild equation and you plot the mass radius relation, then it fits perfectly well, as I have shown in a graph there. Indeed, it's true, but it does not mean that we understand why it is so. But the point is that we would very much like to know why the universe has 10 to the 80 protons, neutrons, and electrons, and 90% empty. There's only one answer to this question. Use the Schwarzschild equation, period. There's nothing to discuss. These are data which are plotted in the graph. Now, if you assume that the evolution of the universe such that you start from the Planck black hole and you have as another point our world, the straight line is there, following the Schwarzschild equation. It's mysterious, but true. Next question.
Sophia?
Where are you? Not here. Ah. Where is? Woohoo!
Right. I'm Stephen Stepera from Imperial
College. I don't hear you. Did you push the button?
Yes. I'm Stephen Stepera from Imperial College London. So I wanted to ask, you mentioned complexity in your talk.
You mentioned?
Complexity in your talk. And
I wanted... Complexity.
Yes. I wanted to ask whether you thought there's room in physics for more holistic theories like complexity.
I didn't understand the question.
I want to ask, do you think there's room in physics for more holistic theories like complexity?
It's question of acoustic. Perché non funziona quella fare lì?
I wanted to ask whether you thought there's room in physics for more holistic theories like complexity. Do you think there's room in physics for more holistic theories like complexity, for example?
Could you use the micro that is next to you, not yours? Maybe it works better.
Next to you, the other one.
So, I'm Stephen Stapiro from Imperial College London. Can you hear me now? Or?
Nearly zero. Go
okay.
on.
So you
what
meant,
is the question? Go to the question.
So, do you think there's room in physics for holistic theories like complexity?
Lo capite voi cosa dice? Could you come here? Come.
Okay.
Giovanni, porco Giuda, mettiamoli, questi non funzionano. Un corno funziona, funziona un corno. Eh? È lui che parla male. Excuse me, what is the question? I think I understood the question. I'm not sure if it is true. Anyhow, complexity is all over the place in terms of energy and any other parameter that you can think of. And I have given to you an example of phenomena which are considered complex. Now, the important point is that no matter what the phenomenon is, despite... Now, I've been talking to people working in complexity, asking them, could you write for me the definition of complexity? And I've collected at least 70 definitions. Then I have selected 7 of these. We have been discussing these points. One definition is by Professor Tuft, and there are other definitions of complexity. The point is, no matter what the definition of complexity is, the important point is the experimental evidence for the existence of complexities are 2. The Anderson-Feynman-Beethoven phenomena and the UEEC events, unexpected events with enormous consequences, like the Sarajevo-type events. And I have shown that here you have history and here you have physics. What is the relation between history and physics? History is the evolution of our world in real life. Potremmo mostrare la... And what is science? Evolution of our basic understanding of the structure, of the fundamental structure of the world. Dove cavolo è sta roba qui? Sì, ma... This is a very interesting question. Okay. Non ce l'ho il microfono a mano. Now look at history. History is evolution of the world in real life. On the other side, you have evolution of the basic understanding of the structure of the world. So this is science, and this is history. They have in common evolution. But you see here, both of them are dominated by UEEC events, unexpected events with enormous consequences. Historians thought that the virtual history exists. What is virtual history? Virtual history is something they thought was coming from virtual physics, discovered in 1947. The most famous example is the Lamb shift. Now, what is visual history? Suppose that Julius Caesar had been assassinated many years before. They say history would be different. Suppose that the America had been discovered a few centuries later. You should realize that the America, this continent, has indeed been vital for Europe. Because European could not be more foolish than history explains. Why? Because we have tried to destroy ourselves. Instead of being one against the others, if Europe was everybody together, we would be the most powerful place in the world. But who has saved us is America. We produced Hitler and Stalin. What worse than this? What you want worse than this? Impossible. So, the evolution here is dominated by what? It's dominated by culture. What means evolution? You can have this equation, which is evolution of the electron, which is an elementary particle. Try to describe the evolution of the universe. You have no one knows how to describe this. But one thing is clear, that the cultural evolution is by far more powerful than natural evolution. How many billions of years we should have waited to have men flying at the speed of sound with planes? Would our body be able to fly like this? How many years would have been needed to have the possibility to our eyes to see what happened in the United States or on the other side of the moon? So the evolution here indeed is dominated by what we call cultural evolution. Men like is the same since very many thousands of years. But we have been enjoying cultural evolution. And here is again cultural evolution. Now, Anderson, Feynman, Beethoven, phenomenology are present everywhere. No problem. What is fantastically interesting is the UEEC events. And the two columns are indeed related. by the UEEC events. They differ in a very interesting and amusing way. In other words, if Newton had not discovered his famous law, or if Galilei had not discovered the F equal mg, don't forget that this g took 2,000 years to be discovered, because people, without doing experiments, had not realized the existence of friction. And with a Gedanken experiment, Galilei said, instead of pushing something, you see, if you push this force, you must push for motion, otherwise stops. But Galilei said, suppose you have a round ball, perfect crystal, in an infinite perfect crystal plane, and you push it, the ball will move without any force being applied. And this is how he discovered that F is not proportional to V. 2,000 years for this to be discovered. But if Galilei had not discovered this, somebody else would have discovered exactly the same thing, which is not true here. Nevertheless, they still go on talking about the incredible sequence of events which dominate history and science. In other words, if you want to understand complexity, the conclusion is that evolution implies complexity. Stop. Evolution implies complexity. And therefore, the problem is, how do you explain that all these discoveries have constantly been performed without anybody predicting the existence of this discovery? The last one is the subnuclear universe. When I was very young, I went from Africa, which is here, to Imperial College, in the most powerful experimental physics group of the world, directed by Professor Blackett. And at that time, now when you read books, they don't write these kind of things, but at that time, the strangeness quantum number appeared to be positive for mesons, theta, which are now the K particles, K0, K plus, K minus. Positive for mesons, theta, and negative for bions. Enrico Fermi was against this kind of decisions, that a new quantum number called strangeness existed. He said, this is nonsense, because if a quantum number exists, it must be plus for mesons and minus for antimesons. Not that you give a negative sign to bions. This was the main objection of Enrico Fermi. Now, as I illustrate in my book, where I recall all these events, Mike Duff is not here. Where is Mike Duff? He's not here. Oh, here is Mike Duff. Well, he organized at Imperial College on 30 April 2014 a very important event in order to recall these important steps in understanding nature, thanks to Professor Blackett. Now, what was missing? The production of heavy mesons with positive and negative strangeness at the same time. And this is what we discovered. And we started thinking that this was the sign of a new universe, which is the subnuclear universe. It's not the case that this school is the first school in the world called subnuclear, because people didn't believe in the existence of the subnuclear universe. Now, had anybody been able to imagine the existence of this universe? No one. So why here? Lorentz discovered that space and time cannot be both real. Incredible. Maxwell, in his equation, didn't realize this. He's the author of the Maxwell equation. In the four equations, you have the Lorentz invariance. You can change things and physics remains the same. This was discovered by Lorentz. If Lorentz had not discovered this, somebody else would have discovered exactly the same thing. This is not true here. Why here? There are discoveries totally unpredicted, because the fellow who did the work is smarter than all of us. This is how Galilean science started. He said all civilizations were affected by intellectual arrogance. It is enough to be smart if you want to understand the logic of the world. He said, no, it's not enough to be smart. You must ask questions to the fellow who created the world. This is Galilei, not me. How can you ask the question? He said, by performing experiments in laboratory. This is how first level science had been discovered. And in 400 years, which means few seconds in terms of universe time, we have discovered an immense amount of new things, totally unpredicted. Why? Because the fellow who discovered, who invented the logic of the world, is smarter than all of us. How do you explain this, Colin? No explanation here. Despite the fact that in both columns, the cultural evolution is needed in order to explain what is going on. But while here we have an explanation, here we don't have explanation, unless you don't want to believe in what is called destiny, which is incredible. But these are the present way, this is the present way of us to understand history and science. Are you happy or not? You are not happy. 50% happy, 50% unhappy. Perfect. I mean, it's exactly what is needed. Think and talk to me again. I'm very interested in this. I want to inject on you these kind of problems, because our field, Professor Blackett was telling me that we are very lucky. No, let's think a second. He gave to me a picture which I don't have there. But anyhow, where there were all the biggest fellows of the world in 1929. Including the man who invented the Wilson chamber, with which I've been working when I was 70 years younger than now, nearly child. Now, suppose that the lifetime of the particles which were going to be discovered in a totally unpredicted way, instead of being 10 to the minus 10 seconds, we are going to be 10 to the minus 12 seconds. Nothing would have been discovered. And we would not be here. Because the impressive series of discoveries coming from cosmic ray comes from this. Is somebody who could say why the particles discovered in cosmic ray, lambda, theta, sigma, an enormous number, had the right lifetime to be seen in a cloud chamber? No one. If it was not 10 to the minus 10 seconds, some nuclear physics would not have been discovered. So he was saying, we are very lucky. Nature was generous to us. Now nature is no more generous to us because we are discovering exactly nothing during the last 10, 20 years. So, Professor Tuft, we need to stop now. Okay, if there's somebody, dove cavolo è il coso? I can give telegraphic answer. 1 second each question.
Can you give 1 second
answer? Few
answers
seconds,
to
yes. No, we cannot leave all these fellows without answers.
Kovalenko.
Be telegraphic in the question. Pass. Tell the question. What is the question?
Okay. Vladimir Kovalenko, St. Petersburg State University.
What?
My name is Vladimir Kovalenko.
Yes, and then?
I'm from St. Petersburg State University. I would like to ask you about what you mentioned in your talk. You said that it is important that the production of particles has some similarities, especially when we are talking about number of charged particles, transverse momentum, etc. And this is something which is non-perturbative. Did you mean what is usually people called like a string fragmentation, or maybe something more deep?
No, no matter what you want to do, the basic point is to realize that the effective energy is the fundamental quantity. Starting from effective energy, you can get all the results known in rapidity, all this kind of new things, I mean, not new, but deduced consequences are. So the basic point is that no matter what you want to look at, the final states, if effective energy is the same, no matter what is the transverse momentum, the physics is the same. Telegraphic answer. Next.
Bellantuono.
Who? Bellantuono?
Me.
Who? Okay. Where are you? Yes.
Me. Loredana Bellantuono from Bari University. Are there features and behaviors common to a general class of complex phenomena, and can we use this common feature in order to develop a general study with a top-down approach for complexity?
Yes, the phenomena are F.A. Anderson, Feynman, Beethoven. The same. In other words, the regularities that you observe apparently have nothing to do, they could not care less about the origin. For example, take the living cell. A living cell is dominated by quantum electrodynamics. If you switch off quantum electrodynamics, there cannot be living cell, elementary life producing matter. So, if this phenomenon can be described without any use of quantum electrodynamics, this is a fantastic Anderson, Feynman, Beethoven event. And for example, if the super world exists, the world we live in could not care less about the super world. And the example I mentioned is more near to reality, namely the transition from quantum chromodynamics to nuclear physics is non-existing. Protons and neutrons behave like Beethoven. Last question?
Professor
Tuft, my God, the man who gave me this tie, you see, well, in this tie there's a mistake. Neutrino tau should be called neutrino HL, heavy lepton, and the tau should not be called tau, should be called heavy lepton. And Professor Tuft,
I have a point about the quark gluon colored world,
yes,
you talk about, or rather a statement, which is that I think the distinction between the quark gluon colored world and the hadronic world is not as big as you suggest, because in both cases all physical states have to be gauge invariant, locally gauge invariant, which means that even though you have quarks, free quarks and gluons walking around, still locally the gauge fields are configured in such a way that every state remains gauge invariant. That holds for the quark gluon plasma, and it also holds for the hadrons. So inside a proton, the world looks very much like your colored world. In the same sense, the proton nevertheless is color neutral, and so is the quark gluon world. But so, in mathematically speaking, there still is local gauge invariance.
This is correct. The inside the proton and inside the neutron, there is a universe. The subnuclear universe is already there, and therefore what is there, Professor Tuft says, is already quark gluon colored world. What there is inside the proton, what is inside the neutron, is colored QCD, correct. But what we would like to do is to produce an immense amount of this system in order to see if scattering, in bombarding this system with protons or with neutrons, you get a different answer from bombarding with electrons, with photons, with non-strongly interacting particles. But I agree with you, yes, this has to be locally gauge invariant. Nevertheless, the system inside is much more rich in particle states. All particles which obey SU3C are there, while in our world only neutral color are present. So we don't disagree. It's perfectly consistent. I apologize for being late.
Well, it's not my fault. You'll be punished by school.
Fortunately, we have a very nice chairman, very kind, which allowed me to speak much more than what I wanted.
Okay, well...
We do not believe that.
Thanks again, you know, for your talks and for your remarks.